Alrighty.
This call is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. And today we have someone very special to talk to. We've got Christina Holzclaw from Rome, Georgia. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
So how are you doing today? What's the weather like in Rome, Georgia?
I'm awesome. There's a touch of fall in the air, but it's still kind of warm right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I just want to be upfront with our listeners. You and I have been friends on Facebook, and I'd always notice your Facebook page because you had always, like, some cute little funny thing that you'd write on your page first thing in the morning.
Yeah, thank you. I enjoy putting something fun up for everybody to start the day with.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Christina. Tell us about your blindness journey.
Okay, well, I was born blind. I was premature, and I was blinded from the oxygen of the incubator, which it caused some thick cataracts in my eyes. And later on, the cataracts were removed, but glaucoma, I guess the injury to the eyes, I developed glaucoma. And, you know, over the years, my vision has dropped. I've never had great vision. Had enough to kind of get myself in trouble, really. But, it's the truth. That's what my husband says. But I was born in 1970 when, you know, they didn't know a lot about things like that. And they x-rayed my mother before I was born, so that didn't exactly help. You know, that's a big no-no now. You don't do that. But
wow.
And so, you know, I kind of started before they knew a lot of these things. And I did go to public school. I know in 1975, the Rehabilitation Act, they had gone through for, you know, people with disabilities to start attending school. But it really had not, I don't think many people had really acted on it. And in 1977, when, you know, right as I was about to start school, there's a video called The Power of 504. It's the Rehab Act 504, where they really were pushing for it to be, to be used. So I started school about the time that went through. So there was a big thing about would I go to blind school or would I go to public school? And I remember right at the last minute, somehow I ended up going into public school. I was the first blind child to enter the school system here in Floyd County, where I live. And they got me into the building with, you know, that legislation, but they didn't really have anything ready for me. You know, I was in the building, but, you know, we had teachers who had not ever taught a blind student. There was no Braille. So I was in there, but I was kind of having to start, you know, from the
sure. You were groundbreaker.
I really was, yes. And this is one of my early memories of first grade is I remember sitting in the library. There was this big beanbag, and I was sitting there I wanted to be like my peers. I wanted to pick a book. So I was trying to pretend I could read this book, but I was holding it upside down. But I was sitting there. I was sitting on the beanbag trying to pretend I was reading my print book while they picked their book. And, you know, that just goes to show, you know, that's, you know, when you're the first in the door, you know, it's just not always set up for you. So, over the years, you know, while I was in school, in public school, they began to learn slowly. And, you know, it was a huge closed circuit television, you know, the CCTVs that magnify. And I remember the one that I had was so huge, it took up this entire table. And now you can get the ones, you know, on your iPhone and things like that. They're so little handheld ones. But back then, that's what I used. And then they started teaching me a Braille and print at the same time because they weren't sure what to, you know, where to put me because I was kind of in this gray area.
Sort of like you were an experiment.
Yeah, really. So I was learning both at the same time. And, you know, I think that has a lot to do with why I do what I do today, because I, you know, having to struggle to read as my vision was going down through all that time, And even in the college, I kind of hit the, I guess you'd say, the disability advocacy lottery a second time as I graduated, because as I was going, you know, into college, you know, the Americans with Disability Act kind of rolled through, you know, in 1990. So, you know, that was twice I kind of showed up at the exact second, you know, that legislation. Yeah, so,
sure.
You know, it was, yeah, so I kind of hit the lottery two times on that, but and then that helped me get into college with, you know, the accommodations and things like that that you get with the ADA. And, you know, I had my guide dog with me in college. It was my first dog that I got named Chloe. And, you know, it's something that, you know, it's kind of built me where I am today, you know, going through college and having to, you know, kind of, I guess I had to kind of make my way, and I had to be an advocate before I even knew what the word meant. You know,
oh, yeah. You were a trailblazer. Yeah. You are a trailblazer.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And then after I graduated, you know, after you graduate, you're always thinking, oh, I'm going to go get this really great job, you know. And, you know, yeah, a lot of people, of course, are looking for experience. You need the experience to get the job, you know.
So, right.
I began to have trouble getting a job. And, you know, I struggled with that for a long time, trying to get a job. And I even worked in it was a sheltered workshop where you got piece work. That's actually where I started. And I didn't know, you know, at the time, you know, I didn't realize, you know, you were getting paid by the piece, you know, things like that. I mean, I was just glad to have a job. Well, and so when I had the opportunity, when the, you know, Center for Independent Living, they began to open a center here that you know, serves 15 counties, they contacted me, and I, you know, applied and got a position there. And I've been working there for 17 years. And
wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's the Center for Independent Living in Rome, Georgia?
It is. Yeah, we have an office here in Rome, Georgia, and we serve the 15 counties that go all the way up to the Tennessee line. So we have a big service area. But I started off there as an independent living coordinator, working with people with disabilities, to teach them how to become more independent. And, you know, over the years, I've been promoted to assistant director. And as of October 1st, I'll be the executive director. So.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations,
thank
Christina.
Thank you very much. And, you know, I have my guide dog, Felicia, here with me. That's, I may have to retire her soon. I've had three guide dogs. Chloe was from, you know, Guiding Eyes for the Blind in New York, and Yellow Labrador. I had a dog named Anna. She was kind of a Goldador. She was looked like a black lab, but she had long hair, a little bit longer. And then I have
kind of like a little hippie dog.
Yeah, really. And she was from Southeastern guide dog. And then I have my third dog, Felicia, and she's from Southeastern guide dogs. And she may have to retire. She's about to be 10. They usually want you to retire about 10. So I have to probably apply for a new dog soon. And just let her retire, enjoy her retirement. So,
How have your each you had a you know different relationship with each dog? What how are they different? Even though they're guide dogs, how is each one different?
Well, Chloe, she was in my college years, so Chloe ate a lot of pizza, and I gotta say I didn't know how to be a good dog mom at the time, she was just kind of with the college crowd, and Anna, she was kind of, Anna, you know, as that's when I began to start the center, she was with me as I started the center, and I don't know, Anna had this kind of a flat kind of a personality. She was kind of like a little snooty patootie.
Oh!
Yeah, She would kind of hang with me, but it's like if I was gone for a while, she'd kind of stick her head in there, look to see where I am. But, you know, I have Felicia. Felicia is just a mama's girl. She is everywhere I am. She, you know, she loves to be, you know, cuddled at night. So, yeah, Felicia
Aww.
Is definitely a mama's girl. And,
that's so sweet.
And Felicia has traveled with me more than the other two dogs, pretty much, because with Chloe, I was in college. Pretty much on campus all the time, and Anna was when we were just starting the center, so we were just kind of building. But Felicia's been all over the country with me, So yeah, to conventions, you know, before COVID, when we could travel more. So
yeah, right. The good old days, right?
Yeah, really. Yeah, the good old days. But yeah, hopefully we'll get back to being able to do that eventually.
I'm sure we will. But what are some of the things that you found that are you know, that people necessarily just don't understand about blindness?
Well, I think it surprises people a lot when they realize, you know, they go into the center and we, you know, people with disabilities are in that center. Pretty much everybody that works there has a disability, of, you know, different disabilities. You know, we have deafness and people in wheelchairs. And so, you know, I think when they realize we're in a position of, you know, a management position, I think it surprises them. You know, I don't
think
they don't expect, you know, people with disabilities to be, you know, in a you know, authority position. And
they expect you to be doing piecework.
Yes, exactly. I think it surprises and takes people, you know, off guard, because I'm assistant director now, and when they call and I say I'm the assistant director and they realize I'm blind, I always kind of notice this kind of a little pause, like, huh? You know, you know, I think it's one thing that takes people off guard is, you know, they expect people with disabilities to have a job that's, you know, just not, like you said, piecework, you know. And then I think with guide dogs, it's one of the most missing. Yeah, I have people who, you know, I've even had a sign that says, please don't pet. And they'll read the sign while they pet her. So I don't
know. Have that.
I've had people reading the sign and they'll pet her. Oh, I'm not pushy pet her. I'm like, oh, you kind of did it already. but yeah, we have, you know, I think that's a big misconception, is how to behave around the guide dog. Because I think one of the, you know, and this happened, it wasn't Felicia's fault, but I was in Atlanta Airport going to one of our conventions, and there was this guy on the elevator playing with Felicia, and I didn't realize it till he had got her kind of revved up, and she began to kind of twist around on the escalator, and I kind of lost track of where we were, and I actually broke my toe at the end of that escalator.
Oh, no.
And I mean, that, you know, I guess that just shows, you know, the dangers of, you know, what can happen if somebody's, you know, interfering with, you know, you and your dog. So
they don't think about it at all. It's just like, oh, this is a dog, you know, let's play with it.
Oh yeah, and of course she loved him. I mean, she was playing with him. He was over there getting her attention. She began to twist around on the escalator, and I was trying to turn her back around forward, but by the time I could get her up there, I had already tripped.
oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, I haven't even thought about that. I usually don't like pet the guide dogs. I don't, but you know, your mind goes, well, don't pet the guide dog, but you don't even think beyond that to, like, okay, well, now this person is going to be twisted around in their directions.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's exactly what happened. And, you know, I mean, it could have been a much worse accident. I mean, you know, broken toe, but, you know, it could have been worse, you know, had I been trying to cross the road.
That's true. You could have fallen because you were on an escalator.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, of course, Felicia loves escalators. I mean, she thinks of them as, like, carnival rides or something. She loves them. yeah, I mean, they used her in training to get the other dogs not to be afraid, because she loves them so much. If she sees an escalator, she'll start pulling real hard toward it, like, oh, boy.
Come on board. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, well, do you like to cook?
I do. Me and my husband and my oldest son, we kind of share it. But, yeah, I do. I love to cook. And there's a new recipe. It's a simple little thing, but I love it because of the morning. I try to eat healthy, except on Saturday. Saturday is my cheat day, but I try to eat rather healthy. So of the morning, I've had something quick. So I've found this, you know, way to make avocado toast, which my son doesn't exactly like it because he's 20 and he likes pizza. But you use the, you know, whatever bread you want. A lot of times I'll use those little sandwich rounds because they're only like 100 calories. You get the wheat ones and break them in half and have two. And you get a
sandwich.
Oh, there
you go.
Yeah. You take your avocado, cut it in little slices, or you can make it more, you know, you can mush it up if you want. I usually cut it in slices and put a little pepper on it. And then I use the egg whites, and I'll just make, put some egg whites on it. You can add some, if you want a little, like the low fat bacon or turkey bacon, you can put it on there. You can really dress them up. And that's kind of the way I've been doing it, so fast, and it's pretty healthy, So that's.
And it sounds good too. It sounds
Oh,
really good.
it is good. I found out if you take the avocado, I didn't know this, but I had somebody tell me this, that if you take the avocado and you leave the pit in it, if you cut it in half and you don't use the other half, if you leave the pit in it, he said that it would last longer, and I tried it and it did. So I haven't
Oh
left
yeah,
that pit yet.
I have heard that before, but I've never actually tried it. So you guys tried it and it worked.
Yeah, it did. It sure did. It worked perfectly. Because usually the other half will go bad before you could get to it. But we tried that and it was great. We just pulled the pit out and ate the other half. It was perfect. So yeah, that's a good little trick.
And you could also like put the pit in the ground and grow your own avocados.
Yeah, that's what my husband said. I was like, yeah, let's do it. I love avocados.
There's no waste there then.
That's right.
So, what kind of things, what other kind of things do you like to cook?
Well, we're going into the fall, so well, some of my favorite fall things is coming in. Now, I love pumpkin spice anything. So,
Oh, you should smell my room right now. I've got a pumpkin spice candle going, so.
oh, I love pumpkin spice. Well, I love cooking for the holidays, and one of the things that I like to make, cornbread dressing. That's one of my favorites to make, and just. I usually have a ton of sage in mine, but it's so good. Yeah,
Well, that sounds
that's
like a real
my.
Southern kind of thing. What do you
Oh,
put
it's
in your
really good.
cornbread recipe?
Huh, gosh, I usually have it written down because my grandmother gave it to my mom and she gave it to me, so I don't have it on me. But you get your
Oh, one of
cornbread. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have it on me. So, but yeah, it's a good recipe though.
those family recipes handed down.
Yeah, oh yeah. I gotta say though, theirs is a lot better than mine, no matter how hard I
Oh no, I can't believe that. I bet yours is
try.
wonderful. Well, here's something that's way off the topic, but I always notice on your Facebook page that when you always put your picture there, and you have something sweet to say, and your makeup is done so amazingly well.
Oh,
How
thank you.
did you learn? I know that
Well,
sounds like such a like off the wall topic, but how did you get to do that?
it's a lot of practice because I know when I was in high school, I played in makeup and I had, I would have people tell me like, okay, you got it too dark or yeah. But I found out if you, I do the foundation, I get it, the way it's supposed to be, and I do have people check me too because I tend to, if it's dark enough that I can see it, it's too dark. So.
Oh.
And then I always have people check me. I have my husband, and I'll have people at work. Look, I'd rather you tell me. Please tell me.
Right before you
So,
leave the house.
yeah. Oh, yeah. One of the funniest things I ever had happen is I accidentally wore a navy blue shoe and a black shoe to work. So I have people. Yeah, I learned the hard way to let people check me, and I'm like, please, it won't hurt my feelings. I'd rather you tell me. But I
Listen.
put it on, and then I have people kind of help me check myself before I let go.
Oh wow. Well, that's funny, like the dark shoe, the two different shoes. I've lived in Miami for a long time, so that sounds like you're just trying to start a fashion trend.
Yeah, that's right. That maybe I'd start a new, new trend. But yeah, I didn't realize it until I got under the fluorescent lights at work, and then somebody's like, "You realize one of your shoes is navy and one's black?" I'm like, no, I didn't. Lucky for me, I didn't have to go anywhere that day. But yeah.
Well, you were worried about being blind and having someone tell you about your makeup. There was a lady the other day. I went to pick up my grandchildren from school, and there was a young woman there picking up her children, and she was sighted. She had one long eyelash on and one off, and she was talking to people like we weren't even supposed to notice that. So you've got nothing to fear, Christina.
Oh, thank you.
So what are you looking forward to in your new job? What are some of your thoughts on that?
I'm looking forward to so much. I've got some plans. I think I want to do an art show for, you know, and this of course depends on how the situation with COVID's going, but I want to do an art show for people with disabilities. And, you know, maybe you have that as maybe the ADA anniversary, you know, probably next July. That's something that I was talking to our staff about, you know, and some of them are artists, you know, but I was thinking about having an art show and some things like that. Right now I'm just trying to get trained for the parts I need to know before our other director leaves.
That sounds like it would be a lot of fun, and you could have like tactile art too.
I think it's going to be a great, and you know, and hopefully COVID will cooperate and we can do it, and if not, I'll figure out a way to do it virtually. You know, we're doing a lot by Zoom right now, so, you know.
Our life is on Zoom. What did we do before Zoom?
I got to say, it does kind of put us blind folks on even ground as far as getting around, because we can just Zoom to meetings, and, you know, it's just so much easier.
Because really, it must have, did it make it easier for you because you didn't have to travel around? You just, got to go
so
on
Zoom. Yeah, because we have a small staff and we've got, a few drivers, but, I try to do anything by Zoom so we're not pressing them, to have to schedule to go around as much as they, we have to get out and about, so.
Oh, yeah. And then Felicia probably wasn't, she was just there by your feet.
Oh, yeah. I've seen her. She has left some of my Zoom calls. I think she kind of wonders, I think, what I'm doing, because I have my phone on the tripod and I'm facing it talking, and I'm not sure if she understands what I'm doing. Like, okay, if you want to sit there and talk to that stick all day.
Be my guest. So you've been through the rigors. You started off as a person just doing the piecework, and you've worked your way all the way up to, like, now you're going to be basically like the CEO, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, that was a different place. I mean, the piecework, that was a different job from the center. That was before the center was even created. But I think that experience, I've always told them, and I even told our board before, if I ever forget what it's like to be a person with a disability and struggling to get a job or, whatever they're facing, that's a day I don't need to be there anymore. Sitting there doing piecework, it's something I think it was a good experience for me to learn what it's like, to be in that situation. And when somebody comes to me, where they're working for a few cents a piece, I can relate to what they're going through.
Do you find that it's gotten easier for people who are blind to get a job?
I think in some ways it has. I hear more people working. Still a long way to go. I do think, with COVID, I really think the world got a kind of a taste of what, it's like to, not be able to get out. And I really think that that's kind of a, it was an experience where, I was thinking, well, once we, are able to get back out, I'm afraid they're going to do away with Zoom, but I don't think so. I think
no.
That actually helped. Yeah, I think that actually helped us. I think that really kind of showed people kind of the other side, what it's like to not be able to get out and about,
That's a really good point. I don't think of all the things that people have said during this time, I think that's one of the most fascinating, because you're right. People, they just felt cooped up.
Mm-hmm. And, they just got a small, it's just a small taste of what it's like to be blind. But with Zoom, they can Zoom in these meetings too. So I think, the pandemic and for everything bad that's with it, I do think that it did show how inaccessible things can be,
Right. That's a good point. It definitely. And, we all had to find new ways of doing things. And that's basically when you become blind or whatever disability you may have, it's not the disability so much, it's finding the new ways of doing things.
Yeah, and I know almost immediately in the pandemic, we began to hear, like, people who are hard of hearing who read lips, you know, they couldn't read lips through masks. You know, we purchased clear masks for the center to give out to people who are hard of hearing and for caregivers who needed, immediately, you know, we're just supposed to, you know, social distance. You know, our guide dogs aren't trained for that. They don't know how. So, you know, we didn't, you know, when we go into the stores and they have those little things on the floors, you know, we didn't know they were there. So we did, you know, I would go in there, you know, you're way in the aisle or you're standing, and I wouldn't know any of that. We couldn't see the things on the floors. There was one store that had arrows on the, you're supposed to go down certain lanes and up.
Right.
We couldn't see the arrows. So, you know, we were immediately running into some, you know, situations where people would call us and say, I can't, you know, I can't read lips. People's mouths are covered. I can't, you know.
So, that is interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it was causing problems almost immediately. And so we got clear masks and started giving them out. You know, they were made out of head plastic where you could see through, or the face shield, you know. So, yeah, we ran into some situations right off. And like you said, I didn't think about it either. So somebody calls me and they're like, oh, what to do? I can't talk to anybody.
Read their lips.
So, yeah,
you had to start doing sign language with their eyes.
Yeah, really.
Oh my gosh. Well, Christina, it's been a pleasure, and I was wondering if there's any way, if someone wants to reach out to you, how would they reach you?
Sure. They can just call the center. It's 706-314-0008, and just ask for me and they'll get you to me.
Oh boy, and the Center for Independent Living, correct?
Uh-huh. Yes,
Okay, great. Well, it's been a pleasure having you today, Christina. You go have a great rest of your day. And congratulations on your new job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Oh, you too, Christina. Take care.
Bye-bye.